In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Hey, Jim Hoffman here for EMS Office Hours. Guys, today might be a little bit of a short episode, but that's all right. Before we can start, a little housekeeping. Of course, I always encourage you to please go follow me on iTunes. Leave me a quick review there. Leave me a quick rating. It really helps out the show, guys. Really helps get the ratings out there. And it helps, more than anything, kind of move me up in the podcast listings when it comes to EMS-related podcasts. So even though I might have more listeners than other podcasts, I don't get the showing because I don't have as many ratings or reviews. So do me a favor and do that, guys. Don't forget to go to the blog. If you're listening on iTunes, go to the blog at emsofficehours.com and check out the content there. All right, and interact there a little bit as well. So today, you know, a lot of things, of course, in EMS we get frustrated with, right? And some of it we can control. Some of it we can kind of, you know, tweak to fit what we need, right? So that we can be more effective, we can do things better, we can, you know, change equipment, or we can, you know, change the bag around so it fits us a little bit better, so it's not as frustrating. We can get more education so we're more knowledgeable, so we don't get as frustrated on calls or when we're taking exams and things like that. But some things that frustrate us that are hard to change, I find, are patients, I guess, perceptions, and then the emergency rooms, I guess, perceptions as well, right? And particularly what I'm talking about is when you try to be an advocate for your patient, and no matter what you do, nobody wants to listen, right? And you come away from the call frustrated, right? Because you kind of knew what was better for the patient, right? I'll give you a little example. I had a patient on hospice. She was a young patient, fell. She either severely sprained or strained her ankle. She possibly even broke it, right? So she's in excruciating pain, can't walk, can't stand, anything like that. We, you know, we carry her to the ambulance, carry her onto the cot, give her pain management, all that great stuff. So then the question comes, well, what hospital would you like to go to? And the family and her choose the big, you know, kind of city hospital, right? That, you know, at the time of the day she's calling, is going to be packed. They're going to be packed. There's not going to be any beds, or they're going to be so crowded. They're not going to want to give a bed up for an ankle injury. You're trying to tell them that, you know, that, yeah, it's a great hospital, but for what's going on for her, she doesn't need to really go there because it's an ankle injury. It's got nothing to do with the hospice, nothing to do with anything else. But no matter what you do, they insist on going to that bigger hospital. And sure enough, you get there. It's a madhouse, right? It looks like one of the typical city hospital scenes you see on TV with, you know, everyone's running around like crazy and stuff. She's getting yelled out and all that stuff, right? Then the nurse says, well, can she walk? And of course you get, you know, kind of a stupid look on your face and you're like, no, she can't walk. And the nurse goes, why not? Well, because remember the part I told you about the ankle being swollen and she's in a lot of pain and all that good stuff. And so the nurse doesn't know what to do because she has like maybe one bed that she can put her in, and she knows that if she sends the patient to that one bed, that the nurses in the back where those beds are going to flip out because you're giving the one bed to an ankle injury, right? But at the same time, the patient can't really walk, you know, and you try to sort of, you know, let the nurse know, listen, I understand that, but she really should get a bed. You know, putting her in a wheelchair, you know, it was great, we can do that, but then what? You know, then what happens? Yeah, she'd probably be okay in the wheelchair, but what about when it comes time to move her again? Now you don't have two EMS people there that are willing and able to lift her out of the chair into a bed, right? Because the nurses aren't going to be able to do that. They're not going to want to do that. So, I don't know. To me, it's frustrating because you kind of can, you know, when you do the job, you know, EMS for a little while, you kind of can see the cards, right? You can kind of see the crystal ball and know what's going to happen when you get there. So while it's frustrating with the nurses and stuff at the hospital, I get where they're coming from, right? I totally get it. But it's more frustrating, I think, sometimes with the patients when you try to tell them, hey, man, you can go to another hospital that might even be closer, might even be less crowded, and actually get a bed, actually get seen relatively quickly because you're in a lot of pain. So now you refuse and you want to go to this hospital because you feel that's where you need to go because they have the best of everything, but it's packed and now you're waiting 20 minutes, 30 minutes before you get any more pain management, before a doctor even looks at you, before anything. And now you're sitting in an uncomfortable wheelchair with your ankle elevated, praying nobody else, you know, bumps into it while you're out waiting to be seen. So that's the frustrating part for me, is not as much with the nurses, because I expect it and I can understand it, right? But it's more with the family and the patient, who no matter what you say, they seem to think that you have some sort of, you're getting paid some kind of commission to take the patient someplace else. You know, they don't realize that doesn't matter to me where we go, right? I'm working for that 12, 10, 8, 24 hours, whatever it is. You know, I'm there regardless. I'm trying to do what's right for you. And it's hard to sort of sometimes present that to patients, you know. But I'll be honest with you guys, you know, that one didn't work out the way I would have liked. I would have liked to have taken the patient to a smaller ER within the same system, because, you know, a lot of hospitals are in the same system. So it's not like you're taking them out of the system that the doctor is in, but it's smaller, right? They'll be seen faster, right? And that didn't work out for me that time. But, you know, I'll keep plugging away, as I'm sure you keep doing as well. That you try to do what's best for the patient. You try to educate them as much as you can. And it's hard, right? We're only with that patient for a very small window. It's hard to kind of let the families and the patients know what's best for them as far as transport and you know, the hospital selection. They don't know us. They just met us. There's no major trust there. And I think that's where it comes in. It gets to be important to try to build the trust up when you meet the patient directly, you know, get that trust established, get that rapport established kind of quickly, so that this way, when you make suggestions, it's taken a little bit more seriously. It's taken that you're making those suggestions based on what's best for the patient and based on your knowledge and your experience. And a lot of times I find that does benefit you, you know. And guys, that building that rapport can start out with, you know, telling the patient your name, asking their name, telling them your name, and just saying, hey, you know, my name is Jim and I'm here to help you today. What's going on? And sometimes that's how it starts, right? That's how it starts. So it's all about, you know, the step-by-step, guys, right? And I know it can be frustrating, but, you know, maybe that call didn't work out for me, or a similar call like that didn't work out for you, but we keep plugging along, right? We keep keep trying to do our best and do what's right for the patient. You know, don't get frustrated. Don't stop being a patient advocate, because sometimes, you know, we're sort of that first line when it comes to that. We're the first line of defense to try to get that patient, you know, the best that we can for them when they get to the hospital, right? And that could be hospital selection, and it could even be telling the nurse and insisting that the patient needs a stretcher, okay? Especially if the, you know, some hospitals are very quick to put them out into a triage area. So that's it, guys. My little story for today, my little bit of EMS frustration, I guess, for the day, you know. But again, coming full circle, gonna keep doing it, gonna keep plugging away, and you know, hoping that you know, our perception to the public gets better. Right, the more we keep trying, the more it'll improve. That's my hope anyway. I hope it's yours as well. All right, guys, that's it for me. Questions, comments, send them over to me, guys. My email is contact@emsofficehours.com. Again, check me on iTunes. I'm on Stitcher as well. And, of course, the blog at emsofficehours.com. All right, that's it. Until next time, I am Jim Hoffman for EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.